and welcome to Indy. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com. Did you know that if you're a small-scale cosmetics or soap manufacturer, there's a place where you can go to get manufacturing equipment to help you scale up your business without breaking the bank? That's right, you can get it all from Ron Jonas and his team at SoapEquipment.com. Check it out today and find out how easy it can be to work with a team of people that are helping you achieve your best success. Well, you know, speaking of success, one of the things that I think is so exciting about my business today and also about the businesses that we all have is that this is a fantastic time for us to use technology to grow. It's also a fantastic time for us to connect and collaborate with other people who can help us succeed. And to that end, I'm excited to introduce you, my dear listeners, to my new assistant, Sophia President. Sophia, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Everybody, you guys know if you subscribe to my newsletter or you tweet with me, you know that Sophia has joined my husband and I a couple of weeks ago, and I just am so excited to have her, and I wanted to introduce you to her and give her a chance to share a little bit with you really quickly about what it's like to work with Indy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. I've been following Indy business for a while, as you know, and Donna Maria, and I have just simply fallen in love with the entire industry, as well as what you're doing for small business owners. I am one as well, and so I love making products, and so this is just seems like a natural fit to be able to share an office and space with you. So I'm happy about it.
Well, we are just over the moon excited, my husband and business partner and I are, to have you, Sophia. We're just really delighted that you're here. You've already made such a substantial contribution. And I want to encourage those of you who are interested in growing your businesses to look around in your local community and find somebody who can help you grow and support you, and as you can also support them. And I'm just really excited to have that kind of interaction with Sophia. She is Indy Assist on Twitter, if you want to follow her. If you can't get in touch with me sometime, by the way, guys, you can contact her on Twitter at Indy Assist, and she can help you if for any reason you can't get in touch with me. So, you know, it's all about having the people around you to support you, and it's also about using technology effectively to support your efforts and grow your business. And to that end today, we have a fantastic guest who really is grown into some sort of part of an expert in this topic. Her name is Lisa Barnes, and she blogs and also has a Twitter at Lisa Barnes, and you can connect with her there. She is an award-winning author, virtual event producer, and the author of Podcasting for Profit. She's president of the International Association of Virtual Event Managers, an online membership organization that teaches businesses how to produce profitable virtual events through education and peer support. Lisa is joining us today from her offices in Canada to tell us about how we can use technology to host virtual events that help expand our businesses and grow our opportunities to collaborate and increase our profit line. Lisa, welcome to Indy. Well, when that happens, you know what you have to do? You have to talk with your assistant, Sophia, about this and that, and wait for Lisa to join in. She says that...
I'm here. I was on mute.
Oh, good. Lisa was talking to you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I'm so glad you joined us.
Thank you so much. Here I was chatting away, and I was on mute, and I was wondering, why is Donna and Sophia talking when I'm talking? So that's one of the mistakes to avoid, folks. When you're hosting these things, make sure the mute button is turned off.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, so Lisa Barnes, welcome to Indy. I'm very excited to have you, Lisa. You are the virtual event guru. But before we get to that, Lisa, tell us a little bit about your background and just a little about your journey, your entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. I got started with virtual events back in 2001. I was working for a small startup in Toronto, Canada, And in a matter of hours, I went from a team of, or went from a workforce of 200 people, all located in two floors in Toronto, to a global workforce of 30,000 individuals worldwide.
Wow.
So that was kind of a shock. And the company had acquired the technology that that the small software company I worked for was building. So now that we're part of this global workforce, I was tasked with the responsibility of training individuals worldwide on how to use the methodology my team used to implement the software. And on top of that, I couldn't travel. So here I was sitting there wondering, okay, how am I going to teach people worldwide about what I do without being able to go to their offices? And so that's when I was kind of forced into the virtual event, virtual training arena, was through this very specific example. And after a year of training up to 200 individuals worldwide in this company, I was hailed as an innovator, got an internal award for my feat, and then a few months later I was laid off. So that was the reward of innovation. But once I was laid off, I had two choices, either get another job or start my own business. And I decided to start my own business. And of course, I used at first I was using different tools out there, what the gurus were telling me to build awareness and build attention, writing articles, blogging, even podcasting. Had some marginal success, but as I continued doing these things, I noticed that my income was going lower and lower and lower. It wasn't growing. Things got really bad. I was facing eviction, bankruptcy, you name it. I remember even going to church at times, and people would say, Lisa, you look great. You're losing weight. And little did people know that I was losing weight because I was hungry all the time, not because I was doing anything spectacular. So I knew that something had to change. And so the first thing I did was I moved back home with my parents. And then the second thing that I did is I stumbled upon this whole telesummits, multi-speaker virtual events. And once I hosted my very first one in 2008, that's when I really, 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 really saw my income grow, saw my reputation grow, and changed my business for good.
Lisa, what are virtual events, and why is it important for people to know about them?
Excellent question, because many people get confused. They hear virtual, they hear event, and suddenly they think it's all technical, and they get scared and nervous and tune off. But think of a virtual event just like any event you would go to. But the way I define virtual events is this. It's a learning occurrence which happens over the phone, online, or via a portable media player, such as an iPhone or an Android. So again, that's a learning occurrence that happens online, over the phone, or via a portable media device.
Okay.
And this encompasses so many different things. It encompasses online coaching programs, virtual summits, virtual trade shows, virtual job fairs, telesummits, which are a bunch of sessions you hold specifically over the phone. Even podcasting is considered a virtual event. So virtual events is a broad term which really defines some of the things you already know. So don't get wrapped up in the technology just yet. Just, you know, first understand what virtual events are. And it really is, it's an event that you attend where you don't have to fly to, where you don't have to spend hotel, where you don't have to give up time in the office. So that's what you really have to remember about what a virtual event is.
So Lisa, let's say that some of our listeners are, you know, they're successful small business owners, or maybe they're not so successful, but they're looking to do something a little bit different, and they're thinking, you know, maybe a virtual event could work for me. What would you say are the three most important things they need to know before deciding to host a virtual event?
I like to define that with this acronym that I use called ALIVE. And the problem with virtual events today is that everyone's using this cookie-cutter approach. It's like, show me the model, show me the template, and then they cut that cookie, and then they send that out. But the cookies have become stale. Not a lot of people are interested in seeing the same templated approach anymore. So I like to use the acronym ALIVE to describe what business owners must know about virtual events and telesummits. So let's go through that. ALIVE, it stands for Abundance, Legacy, and Influence Through Virtual Events. Abundance, Legacy, and Influence Through Virtual Events. And these are the things that can happen to your business as a result of hosting a telesummit. So the A in ALIVE is Abundance. So so many, I've experienced so much as a result of hosting telesummits. So abundance means prosperity, means overflow. For example, when I held my very first telesummit, my database increased. It doubled. It doubled within 6 weeks. It went from 2,500 to 5,000 in 6 weeks. Something that article marketing and blogging couldn't do in 3 years. I made just under $20,000 in 48 hours. And I think I was about $1,000 shy of $20,000. But this was the most amount of money I made in such a short period of time. And I was elated. So not only does your list increase, but so does your income. But more importantly, your reach and turn into various markets. So if some of you are trying to reach out into, you're trying to expand beyond your local market, a telesummit helps you do so because it helps you reach out to a global market much faster. So that's the A in Alive, abundance. The second thing that business owners need to know about telesummits and what they can do to their businesses is the legacy. And people use legacy to refer to the things you leave behind when you pass on. But here I'm referring to legacy as the things that you give to the marketplace, to your clients, while you're still here. Things like sharing your mission, sharing your voice. People hear your voice over and over. Sharing your ideas with a wider audience. In essence, establishing your thought leadership. So that's legacy. It's not what happens when you're gone, but it's how you serve others while you're here. And then the third thing is influence. Man, if you're having trouble trying to gain visibility in the marketplace, trying to get the attention of the movers and shakers in your field, a telesummit would help you cut through the noise. And the primary reason why is because you bring together experts, you bring together attendees, and each of these individuals look at you as having influence. Because only someone influential could bring together so many different speakers, so many different attendees to one single event. So that's the A-L-I in Alive, and then the V-E is virtual events, as I described before. So if you think of your virtual event or telesummit as helping to boost your business and bring it alive, then you understand that it's a telesummit will help your business experience lots of abundance, leave a leg, or not leave, but create a legacy and influence the marketplace.
You know, let's switch gears for a quick second here and talk about people who are being almost bombarded with virtual event opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
About some of our listeners who are thinking, okay, I might want to host my own, and those were some great tips. But what are some things that I need to know before I even think about attending someone else's virtual event? How can I cut through the noise, as you just described, and get
yes.
to an event or two that I would like to attend? How do I know which one to choose?
And Donna, I wish more people asked that question because I tell you, this happened to me recently when I was doing some market research on telesummits because of an event I'm hosting in November, which we'll talk about a little later on. And so I signed up for 4 different telesummits because I wanted to see how people were doing it. And I tell you, I got overwhelmed. I only signed up for the 4 of them because it came in my inbox through a Google alert, and I signed up. But, you know, after the second day of getting 4 different emails from 4 different events, I was sitting there and I was wondering, how could I possibly attend all these things and listen to all the content that they're producing? And worse yet, I'm just someone doing market research, so what about that person out there that wants to really attend these things or speak at them? And so my recommendation for those of you who are getting bombarded with all these messages is just sit back and ask yourself, where am I in my business right now, and what do I really need to know? I am in a place in my business right now, Donna and Sophia, where I am really interested in building my thought leadership and in creating more systems so I free up my time. The virtual events that speak to that, those are the ones I will attend. Anything
that's
having to do with, you know,
I love the question question that said, where am I in my business and what do I need to know? That's a really great starting point for everyone out there to be thinking about how to sift through all the noise that you're getting in your inboxes. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk some more with Lisa Barnes, the virtual event success guru, and she's going to share some more tips about how to create your own successful virtual event and achieve some of the goals and be alive, as she said, to use her acronym. This is Indie Business, and we will be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business. We're talking today with Lisa Barnes. She is a virtual event coordinator and advisor. She provides lots of information to help you not only host a successful virtual event of your own, but to choose events that can be helpful to you. And in our last segment, Lisa was sharing some really helpful tips about how to choose what virtual events might be right for you. And, you know, along those lines, Lisa, I have a question about virtual events as they relate to physical conferences. We obviously are
have opportunities
to do both. So, at a physical conference, I can shake people's hands, I can take pictures and put them up on my Facebook page and sort of share the love in that way. What can a person do to best mimic those kinds of connections when they're at a virtual event where you really can't, you can't take pictures and you can't shake hands?
I love that question, and I get that a lot, and it's one of those things that people say prevents them from signing up for virtual events or prevents them from hosting them. And you really need to really become that virtual extrovert on these things. And it's very simple to do that. You can't shake someone's hand physically in the hallway or have those hallway chats, but you can certainly use all the tools available to you to create that engagement with other attendees and speakers. For example, with my virtual events that I create for my clients, we use forums where attendees can chat back and forth. Between the sessions, we leave the phone lines open so that attendees can do virtual networking. And of course, there's Twitter, where a lot of attendees find that they're able to create joint ventures and get to know other people as well. I used a Facebook group one year to create interaction between attendees, but it, from a management standpoint, it was quite difficult to manage. You know, we had to copy and paste people's details. We had to remember who signed up so that we can accept their invitation to the party. So it was really confusing. But there's certainly other tools that can be used. And there's platforms out there where there's a video component where attendees can see each other through webcams and web chats. So there's certainly a lot of tools available. But for those of you who consider yourselves introvert, the virtual events and telesummits are a wonderful way for you to interact with people, create that engagement without having people to see how really shy you are.
Oh, so that would be really good for people who, I know lots of parents, for example, of very young children who aren't in a position to fly across the country, or even if they can, to even be able to stay for the entire 2 or 3 day event, can really take advantage of this and make the most of it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, Lisa, you mentioned that there are some video components that we could use as well. So let's talk for a second about the technology. There's obviously audio, where you want people to hear you, and if you want people to see you, there's also video. Tell us a little bit about your tips. Let's start with audio, for getting really good audio quality and also, you know, making sure that people understand how important it is to be able to call in from a good quality line so that the quality is not compromised for everyone who's listening.
Yes, and so the very first thing I would say is unless your event is about photography or graphic design, architecture, or even rocket science, there really is no need for you to use a web component to your virtual event. All my clients use the phone, and all of them are making 5 and 6 figures in revenue from their virtual events. I find that using webinar software is overkill. Most times it's just an audio speaking through, it's just a voice speaking through slides. So you really don't need it. I even know someone, a best-selling author, who recently conducted a course using a webinar-style format and had so many difficulties that first week. And that's what you want to avoid. You want to make this so foolproof for people to attend. You want no excuses, and you want no refunds, because if the tools don't work, that will be an excuse for people to ask for refunds. So that's the first thing I want to
point that you're making. That's a really good point that you're making, Lisa, because it's not just your understanding of the technology that matters. It's your audience's understanding of the technology.
Yes. Excellent point. Absolutely. And as a Tell Summit host, as a virtual event host, that's what you have to keep in mind. So I have a client whose audience is mainly corporate, and they're used to the slides flipping through while someone speaks. So we're actually doing her web event, we're doing her virtual summit using a webinar tool, because that's where her audience is used to. Now, my advice to her was, you know, do away with that and just do the phone only. But she said her audience is used to the slides and the voice. So that's why we're doing it for them. But other than that, the phone is just good enough. And
that's
you can certainly sign up for a free or paid service to get that done.
Excellent point, too. Of course, when you're launching any product, you want to be sensitive to the needs and desires of your audience. And so many of us have a challenging time doing that because we love what we do, so we just want to make it look like it's the perfect thing for us. So we have to make sure that we're doing it in a way that our audience can understand. Sophia, I know you have attended virtual events before. Do you have any questions for Lisa?
Well, yeah, I attended attended a lot of them. Some I liked and some I didn't like as much. The main challenge that I had was the lag time when people are coming into the conference. How can you make it a little bit more professional and a little bit crisper so that you won't have that lag time? I think even worse than that is the bells and whistles that kind of go off as people are coming into the conference after it has already started. So how do you, you address that for me?
Yeah, or worse yet, you have a host who stops every time he or she hears the chimes and says, "Who's just joined us?" And then starts the introduction all over again. Man, that drives me nuts.
Yeah,
that drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard it too.
And I remember my very first Tell Summit. I made, well, I call this a mistake, but at the time I didn't think it was, where I stopped every 10 or 15 minutes to check in with attendees. Do you have questions? Mm-hmm. And after the first day, I got a lot of emails from attendees saying, "Can you just, you know, let the speaker just get through the content and then open the floor for questions later on." So even that is something that attendees had a preference. You can use your, depending on the audio bridge line that you use, you can actually turn off all the chimes, turn off all of that. And then as a telesummit or virtual event host, it's important that you treat your session like someone walking into a classroom. You wouldn't stop every time someone walked in to say, "Hi, how you doing?" I mean, there are some people who do that, and I've been in classroom settings where someone did that all the time. It was so annoying. But as people are entering, you don't stop and say, "How you doing?" and "What's up?" "Hi," you know, "and here's where we are," and, you know, start all over again. You treat it as if you start at the top of the hour. You give a couple minutes for people to get into the room and then just dive right into the content and get right through it. And then at the end, if there are questions, then open up the floor. So you can choose the right conference bridge line to turn off all those features so that you're not hearing the chimes. And as a virtual event host, the only voices that attendees should hear at that point are yours as the host and your guest.
Okay, that's good.
Do you also advise your clients to record the event so that they can have it, make it available later for people who maybe registered but couldn't attend, or maybe even for people who don't find out about the opportunity till next year and the event is obviously over?
A couple who signed up for one of my virtual events, they emailed me about 8 months after the virtual event ended, to say, and they bought the package where we sent the recordings on CD. So the husband emailed me in the summer, which was 8 months later, and said, you know, Lisa, my wife and I went cross country in our RV, and we listened to you the entire time on the CD. So thanks for making them available. So here's a couple who signed up back in January when I held the event, but didn't listen to the recordings on CD until they took their cross country tour in their RV. So I can't imagine what that would have been like to have Lisa Barnes talking, you know, endlessly for hours and hours on end, like having me there, right? But it's very important that you do offer the recordings to attendees and make it a choice. The choice can be download the recordings as an MP3 files, and that way they can add it to their favorite player, or you can offer them on CD, and that way people can make the choice as to what they want, how they want to consume the content.
It's really important, Lisa, to offer people options, isn't it?
It is. It is. And make sure those options are at different price points. So, for example, I like to offer people a listen-only option. So let's just say they just want to pop in, listen, and then walk away with some gems, and that's it, and have no other relationship with me. I'd price at a really cheap price, maybe $97. And then for the person who says, you know, I'm going to be able to listen to maybe 3 or 4 sessions live, but I really need to get the recording so I can play back later on, then I offer, okay, the live sessions and then hear the recordings for, you know, another $100 on top of the $97. And then there's another person who says, screw that. I'm not going to be able to listen. I'm not able to download the recordings because I don't understand that stuff. I want this stuff on CD. Then because that's a tangible item that needs to go out in the mail, then that would be the highest price option. So I'd add another maybe $200 or $300 on top of that price to get to listen live, plus you get access to the recordings to download, plus I'll send them on CD to your front door.
Wow. Those are pretty good alternatives and choices to make, because there are just so many people that have various relationships, how they want to, like you said, consume the food, you know, consume the information
That's right.
That they have.
So, that's right.
That's,
and it all,
that's wonderful.
And I want to just mention that you want to satisfy, you want people to have no excuse to attend your virtual event. So you want to meet different people's time zones. You want to meet different people's language. Maybe their first language isn't English, and so you might want to put the recordings and transcribe them so people can skim it. Or for visual learners like me, I can't imagine sitting through audio after audio, and that's strange because of all the virtual events I've hosted. So I like to consume my content by seeing it, and so that's why I always attend. And this is another criteria for me to attend virtual events, is I look for the ones that offer transcripts, because I'm a visual learner. So you meet different people's learning styles, their time zone, their language, and all that. So there's no excuse for people not to, and budget as well. So there's no excuses not to attend.
Lisa, you've got a virtual event coming up. You have several coming up throughout the year, and I know you have a really interesting one that I think you've done for a couple of years in January. But you also have an in-person physical conference coming up for this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called TeleSummit Refresh, and I know I've gotten a lot of questions about, you know, the fact that I've done all these virtual events, and now I'm going to do a non-virtual event in a hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. So I keep getting questions like, well, why would you teach an online marketing tactic not online? And, you know, it's time. Well, there's two reasons why. One is, as people who are interested in hosting their own telesummit, it's time we get into a room and we meet each other. Get away from the computer, meet each other in a room. I know that whenever I attend non-virtual events in a city somewhere, it's an investment in my business, and it always carries through later on. For example, I attended an event in March.
I'm sorry, Lisa, we're running out of time. Tell us where it is and how we can get more information.
Absolutely. So go to telesummitrefresh.com, and there you'll get more information about the event taking place November 3rd through 5th, 2010, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Excellent. Well, we should all heads up about that, guys, because this is going to be a fantastic way for you not only to meet Lisa in person and get some of your questions answered before you dive into the telesummit world and the virtual event world, because we all know it's really good to educate yourself inform yourself and plan in advance. And Lisa is going to help you do that. And I am so excited that I am going to be there. So I'll be connecting with you there as well. And Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, you know, you've been in business for a while. You're what I would call a phenomenal success in business, Lisa. Tell our listeners why you think it might be important for them to listen to a show like Indie and learn from guests like yourself on our show here.
Well, first of all, I have to say that Donna is so dang cool. That's like number one reason. But as for each of our guests, they're also dang cool as well. But each guest will teach you how to be yourself simply because everyone else is already taken. So that's why you should listen to Indie Biz Podcast.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've got 5 years of our shows at IndieBusinessRadio.com. You can stream them or download them for free. And there's another one there. Lisa was a guest a couple of years ago, right after her book, Podcasting for Profit, came out. So I encourage you to check that out. Next week, on September 27th, I am so excited that Anita Campbell is going to be with me on the show. And she's going to talk about some of her insights. She's going to share her commentary on what it takes to be successful in business today. Anita Campbell is one of the leading experts on small business success, and she is definitely worth tuning in next Monday, September 27th, right here on Indie Business Podcast. Until then, I'll see you. Enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.